It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go on this, the 19th day of December, 2018. This is the Horn Head On.live is where you'll find us if you would, for instance, like to be a part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the hours in which this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just, click on chat room over at headon.live, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and Zowie, there you'll be. You will be immediately greeted by Bill and Otto and Richard and VT Blom. And is that really Dr. Bill? We shall have to see. And of course, you'll be capably moderated by midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stan. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn, and, well, let's see, where to begin? Well, let's start where we often start, where we start almost every evening, unless I'm being forgetful. Let us start with thank yous. Thank yous to our subscribers for this 19th day of the month. Thanks go out to David. Thank you very kindly, David. And thanks very much to Mike in Cascadia. Thank you very kindly to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you very kindly to Brock. And thank you very much indeed to Robert, as well as thanks going out to our buddy Dave in Talibandiana. Thank you very much to all of you, our subscribers, for the 19th day of the month. I cannot express enough how appreciative we all are. And in point of fact, our subscribers knock out about it. A week's worth of our month's financial requirements. And with that being the case, a reminder, we are on our way to fundraising free radio. And if we get all of our fundraising done by Friday, then all of next week will be fundraising free radio to end the last month and the last week of the last month of 2018. That would be wonderful. Now, where are we? Well, let's see. I guess the first thing I ought to do is mention that there's one tin of Palmans remaining, only one. And so remember, our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown peels and roasts and salts these almonds by hand every Christmas season and makes them available to members, lucky members of the Horn community, so that if you'd like them, Paul suggests a $50 contribution, and then you make sure you provide me with your address, and I will then give it to Paul, and Paul will see to it that you have them available for your New Year's Eve snacking needs. And goodness gracious, they're delicious. They truly, truly are. You would never know that something so simple could be so wonderful. And I think they're so wonderful because of the amount of dedication and amount of craft that goes into their creation. So remember, there's one tin left, okay? And if you want them, you better act quickly, because I don't want people, yeah, but I want, no. So just be aware. That there's one tin left. Now, as far as the rest of fundraising is concerned, we came into last night with a 380 deficit, so we knocked down 130. I'm about to make a terrible mistake because I have a thank you to send out because something arrived after the program. And thank you very kindly to Cecilia. Thank you, Cecilia, very, very much. We took that 380, thanks to Cecilia at the end of the program. Well, we took that 380 down to 235. So that means our goal this evening is 435. And I have happy news. There is a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. Sister Chris, far across the ocean, has offered to double every contribution that comes in this evening up to the $100 mark. And that would be huge because that would take us down to 235. Wait a minute. Other calculations. The third tin of Paulman's. So that's 185, 385. Meeting Chris's challenge would take us down to 185. And we've got a fighting chance there. And by we, I mean, you know, we'll have the horn next month, bills will get paid, and I'll get back on the road, creeping and crawling around on this damn little donut tire. It tasks me. It also feels very, very unsafe. So tomorrow the new wheel is supposed to arrive, at which point the drive all the way across the river to the tire place is going to be a real adventure. Of course, it probably won't show till 5. That means we'll get it done on Friday. Oy vey. Yeah, that. So anyway, the fundraising goal this evening is $385. And, if Chris's challenge gets met, then it's $185. And then if the last tin of Paulman's goes, it's $135. Which is manageable. Warrior Witch. Bob on the donut tires. LMAO. Yeah, you'd be laughing if you were in the passenger seat with me. Those things vibrate like skateboard wheels. Yeah. But that's where everything stands this evening. Brethren and sister, and it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. And I just wanted to let you know that the little blue-haired ladies... They got out the roasting pans, and they did up a bunch of chickens, whole bunch of chickens, seasoned them up with herbs and spices, and mashed potatoes and chicken gravy, and goodness me, some succotash, green beans and corn, made for a hearty meal this evening. Sorry, I'm still sneezing from all the black pepper they used on the chicken, but it was mighty delicious. And then over there on the dessert table, right next to the 15 gallons of sweet tea that they make every week, over there on the dessert table was the dessert, and I mean they whipped up an absolute humdinger of a three or four great big old coconut and mandarin orange cakes. Oh, they were something special. The little blue-haired ladies were a little peeved at me because if I'd gotten them Scott's Aunt Effie's pound cake recipe, they said they were more than ready to assay that. Yes. And it would have been some kind of... Well, they may yet. Who knows? They'll probably send me to the back door of the liquor store if they want to do that, though, for a bottle of brandy or rum or something like that. You know, when you go from the church to the liquor store, you have to go to the back door of the liquor store, lest the sinners see you and be caused to backslide. Yeah. But there wasn't so much of a fleck of coconut left. When the deacons decided to trundle their massive bulk up that couple of flights of stairs and to go out to the parking lot to smoke with the sinners. Let's see, Brother Deacon Asa letting me know, the good news is coming through loud and clear from both pulpits, Cardinal Kincaid. The bad news, Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee informs me that the desiccating bowl of buttermints done been stole by an evil spirit. Well, that happens every now and then. Somebody will come along and say, my, those desiccating bowl of buttermints sure do look tasty. And they steal them. They usually eat one. And the next thing you know, and let me look. Yeah, it's back. Nobody ever keeps the desiccated bowl of buttermints. They're hateful. They only get eaten in times of extreme duress. Yeah. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs, for getting us started. We've got $85 to go on Sister Chris's challenge now. Thank you very kindly indeed. So, as it was, the deacon stood out there. It's not too cold here. We got up around 50 or so to get today. Just a light jacket was all the deacons needed. They got a lot of natural insulation anyhow. And so they got through. They chain smoked 3 or 4 cigarettes before Sister Carol appeared at the vestibule door with the horn solar-powered Cathedral of Common Sense cattle prod. And because even in these days of waning sunlight, there's enough there to get a proper charge on the cattle prod. And ain't no deacon ever wants another. Once a deacon's had just one little bite of that thing, they never want that to happen again. So they got going, and they blew right through that vestibule door and right past that desiccating bowl of buttermints, and they're waiting down front here, and they're going to pass the plate, brethren and sistren, as we attempt to come up to the middle of the week and give us a fighting chance to have fundraising-free radio and, among other things, Trash Fitzwalker stand and meet the Go Bucks challenge and everything that'll happen if we can just wipe out fundraising by Friday. So with the deacons moving about, just be careful, brethren and sistren. Keep an eye, every head bowed and every eye closed, but keep that one eye scrunched open a little bit so you don't take one in the noggin with that big old heavy brass-bound velvet-lined plate. Press the PayPal button and pass it on as the offertory hymn plays. Brother Minister of Music, if you would step forward and do the honors, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD. Just $40.95 plus GST.
Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren. Hallelujah, glory, amen. Ha! To prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. We're here for Bible study, brethren and sistren. But we're going to do the altar call before we do this Bible study. And so I want you to, right now, right here, right now, I want you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Hell, amen. Yes. Wiggle and waggle and waddle and move without rhythm and get out from betwixt the pews and come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees, brethren and sistren, at the altar and lay your hands upon the glory subwoofer and feel the healing rays, a common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. Amen. Hallelujah. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized, Agnostic, Vicarious, Vicar, Maximum, Metropolitan, Ponerized Pontiff, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid, and this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense. Amen, and amen, and amen. Oh, brethren and sistren, I tell you what, I want you to know that some former ministers of the gospel, who are now well-paid right-wing, white-wing radio hosts, have done figured out the whole shebang with what the Democratic Party is all about, brethren and sistren. Hockey puck.
We're not an atheistic nation. We're not a Buddhist nation. We're not a Hindu nation. We're not a Muslim nation. We are a Judeo-Christian nation, and our culture is predominantly Christian.
Now, this, of course, is the Reverend E.W. Jackson. And his declarations of the nations were not. We are a nation that has Buddhists in it. We're a nation that has Hindus in it. We're a nation that has Muslims in it. We're a nation that has Jews in it. We're a nation that has Christians in it. And no, we are not predominantly Christian, because as a nation, we officially have no state religion. But that doesn't slow down the likes of E.W. Jackson. But what's he worked up about? Well, apparently he's worked up about one of them Muslim women's is going to wear her hijab when she comes to the when she's working as a congressperson on the floor of the House.
Now, this woman who just got elected to Congress said, you know, deal. No, you deal. You deal with the fact that this is a Bible-believing Judeo-Christian nation. You deal with that.
Bible-believing, upstanding, God-fearing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual Christian nation. I like the way I do it better than E.W. Jackson, but I'm partial that way.
And you know, the Congress, the floor of Congress is going to look like America.
Yeah, well, by the way, one other thing. If you want to say we're a Christian nation, old E-Dub there, can I call you E-Dub? I don't give a fuck if I can't. I'm going to call you E-Dub anyway, you dumbass. If we were a Christian nation, we wouldn't have little 7-year-old girls dying on our border from neglect and possibly poisoned water. Because, see, Jesus wouldn't tolerate that, and, well, he is at least nominally the avatar, the God of Christianity, and well, I mean, it's him and his daddy and the sky spook, holy spook, whatever. But he wouldn't much tolerate that, and I don't think he'd be in much for children being slaughtered in school for just trying to learn to read and write and do some arithmetic and whatnot. And even if he's not a big fan of the DC universe and he's more a fan of the Marvel universe, I don't think he'd appreciate people being gunned down in movie theaters just for trying to go see Batman. I just don't. So, so much for that whole Christian nation business. Yeah, right. But he's all worked up about a hijab.
No, it's going to look like an Islamic Republic if Nancy Pelosi and her cohorts have their way. But look, I don't think they...
Really? If one woman wears a hijab in the House of Representatives, it's going to look like an Islamic Republic? Huh. One, all it takes is one, huh? Yeah. Okay. Of course, I got to tell you, it is very seldom that I find myself in agreement with the Reverend E-Dub. But I do agree in one regard, because I am a non-believer in organized religion. I'm pretty sure if your God gives a rat's ass about what you have on top of your little old head noggin, that your God's probably imaginary. If your God cares, if you're all-knowing, all-loving, all-seeing God, it gets worked up about you having surf and turf and eating things that what don't got from the sea, what don't got fins or scales upon them. Yeah. So, I mean, it would be fine by me if we all agreed to just leave the headgear at home. But, well, you know, I keep saying we need to dream big in 2020. We need to elect us. And I'd say our best bets are probably in California or Oregon or Washington. Maybe some outside chances in the northeastern states. But if we're going to dream big in 2020, I think we should dream of the day that we can elect a Pastafarian. Yes, a Pastafarian to the House of Representatives. And would not it be a great day for freedom if, say, a brand new, newly minted member of the House of Representatives showed up on the floor of the House to do all that representing work and was a Pastafarian and was wearing a colander on his or her head noggin? What a great day for the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster that would be. Wouldn't it? What a magnificent display of undying devotion and proof that that member of Congress had in fact been touched by his noodly appendage. Maybe that person could also don underneath the colander, don a scarf of his or her own, only tie it back real snug and pirate-like, and say, "Mr. Speaker, yar," in true pirate form, and end every address by saying "Ramen." That would be a great day in America. But do go on, E-Dub. What's that? Ron in Raleigh says, "Well, all these other religions need to shut the fuck up. You can only participate if you kowtow to what these Christian fascists want. If everybody would only do as they're told, everything would be just fine." Oh, is this where we cue up Starship again? "If only you believe like I believe, baby, like I believe, we get by." No more singing, but then again, we've got $85 to go to meet Chris's challenge, so don't make me sing again. Um, Marty says, apparently old Pastor Edub needs to read the Treaty of Tripoli and listen to George Carlin. Well, he wouldn't understand either one if he did. Well, that's true, too. Marty says, screw a Pastafarian. Well, you can. I'm not going to. Never mind. Don't do that. You'll just get in trouble. I want an all-out atheist to take his or her place in the government. That would be lovely. Poor soul would have it would never get any work done, though. It would be a constant stream of Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and Whiskeypalians and Frisbeetarians and Muslims and Hindus all pecking on their door going, do you have a minute to talk about Ganesha's plan for your life? Do you have a minute to talk about Jehovah's plan for your... Do you have a minute to talk about Allah's plan for your... Do you have a minute to talk about Jesus' plan for your... Never get any work done. Now, well, Edub's worried about a theocracy. I can understand that. I worry about a theocracy a lot more than Edub does because Edub would be happy if he had him a Christian theocracy. I don't want no theocracy at all.
They care what it looks like as long as they stay in power. I think they'd be just as happy if America was an atheist nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation. They would listen, folks, I mean this. I believe that Democrats and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer would just as soon this be a satanic nation as long as they're in charge of it. Now, I mean that. I think that's how that is how obsessed with power they are. That they wouldn't care if everybody worshiped the devil as long as they were in charge. As long as they're the devil's chief lieutenants, that's okay with them.
Fuck you, Edub. I ain't signing on for anything short of, as a Democrat, I ain't signing on for anything short of the devil's lieutenant colonel. Lieutenant, my ass. Not near enough people snapping salutes to lieutenants. Lieutenant colonel. You got your majors and your captains and your lieutenants and your second Louis and all your non-coms out there snapping salutes. All you got, if you're a lieutenant, the only thing you got's the second Louis and the non-coms saluting. Where's the hell's the fun in that? Yeah, right. So. Well, Marty's worried. Somebody cover Tracy's ears. Well, no, we're not going to have three or four. I don't have our buddy Jesse Lee queued up. I don't think. Even if I did, I'd take it easy on Tracy this week because it's holiday season. Steve in New York. Do you have a minute? Next time some crazy Christian asks me if I have a minute to talk about Jesus, I'm going to say yes. Then after a minute, I'm going to say, time's up, and walk away. I still think answering that with, do you have a plan, do you have a moment for me to talk, tell you about Cthulhu's plan for your eternal agony, that's pretty comeback, too, pretty good comeback as well. Ron in Raleigh says, the thing that worries me when your deity is concerned about the condition of your junk, that causes me to wonder exactly what does that have to do with piety or devotion? P.S., does Yahweh know that he's been converted? Yeah, I know. I think maybe the reason Jesus didn't come back, assuming Jesus was here at all in the first place, I think the reason Jesus hasn't come back is he and Pops are not real thrilled with what his little cult turned out to be. Oh, that's right, that's right. Brother Deacon Asa says, remember, Edub said some of his family members is Muslim. Mm-hmm. Megan, meanwhile, says, subject line, next president. Come on, Bob, you aren't being imaginative enough. The next president needs to be a pagan pansexual that pours beers to Thor and howls at the full moon every month. I'm always up for a good howl. I've seen the best minds of my generation, angel-headed hipsters. No, wrong howl, sorry. But the religion industry's out there, and they're going to protect us from women with headscarves in the Congress. Sorry, Edub. Yeah, you'll. Yeah, we got all kinds of fun going on in the world of religion today. Very good. Steve from New York says, beers to Thor? You had me at beers. I know. So, yeah. Mighty special, huh? Meanwhile, a story of great religious faith from here in almost level West by Cold Trump Jinyistan. In Mercer County, West Virginia, which is not all that far from here, they have something that they offer in the public schools there called Bible in the Schools. You know, if you care about the First Amendment, this might be something that's kind of a clue that maybe there's a problem. Bible in the Schools is sort of specific to Mercer County. And what it boils down to is it's just proselytization. It's just, that's an awful big word. Here in the hills, we call it a witnessing. That's just witnessing right there in the schools. So I'm going to give you some stuff from the Bible in the Schools class at in the Mercer County Schools. This is straight out of their curriculum. And you tell me, is this something that belongs in the public schools where we're not supposed to be establishing any state religions? These are quotes from the Bible in the Schools lessons of Mercer County, West Virginia. Moses was saying that when a dolphin had a little baby, it didn't have a baby octopus. It had a baby dolphin that was like itself. When a shark had a baby, it didn't have a baby eagle or a baby sea turtle. The shark had a baby shark that was like itself. Baby shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Baby shark, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, no, stop that. Mommy shark. That thing goes, I mean, that thing's an earworm that goes all the way into the central core of your brain. Baby shark, doo-doo. Nope, stop that. So that's probably from the that's from the evolution is a lie told by the devil portion of the secular Bible in the Schools text. Here's another. So picture Adam being able to crawl up on the back of a dinosaur. He and Eve could have their own personal water slide. Wouldn't that be so wild? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it just be so wild? It'd about have to. Because, I mean, just it, like a water, you know, like Fred Flintstone. When Mr. Slate pulls the whistle and pulls the cord tied to the bird's ass, and the bird screams real loud, and Fred goes sliding down the back of that brontosaur, or plesiosaur, I don't know, that he was a riding on for to use for like a steam shovel. Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs, water slides. Don't know where they're going to get the water from, though. That's a little worrisome.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals.
Amen.
Exactly. Let's see. Then there's some lessons on the failings of the Israelites. If all of the Israelites had chosen to follow the Ten Commandments, think of how safe and happy they would have been. They would never have been afraid if someone would go into their tents and steal something. They'd never have been afraid someone was lying about them. They would never have been afraid that anyone would hurt them or someone they loved. Except the parts where it ain't up to them whether the members of the village or the tribe or the clan decide to stone them to death. Right. So anyway, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is a noble outfit, if ever there was one, took a case to court on behalf of Elizabeth Deal and her daughter Jessica, because they're not big on the whole getting religion foisted onto little Jessica agenda of the Mercer County Schools. And then when Jessica didn't want to participate, because it's not mandatory that you participate in Bible in the schools, but if you choose not to participate in Bible in the schools, the other children and the teachers and the administration will make your lives a living hell and remind you, of course, that God loves you so much that you're going to burn forever in an eternal lake of fire. And so Jessica had to transfer schools out of the Mercer County school system so she could get away from being taught religious dogma instead of being taught things that actually could benefit her, like reading and writing and arithmetic and science and technology and engineering and so forth, and maybe even art. And the federal judge who heard it at first said, well, you know, the school district's right. They're no longer in the district, so they've lost their right to sue. In other words, the district judge said that if you can run somebody off, somebody can't complain about being run off. Whew, that is some first-class legal reasoning. But the problem was the Religious Freedom Foundation, or the Freedom From Religion Foundation, didn't give up. And they appealed the case up to the Fourth United States Circuit Court of Appeals. And in a unanimous ruling, the Fourth Circuit said, the mama and her little girl have plenty of standing to sue the district over whether or not the Bible in the classroom class is constitutional. And so they sent it back to be tried by the judge on the merits. Now, here's the fun part. The Mercer County, West Virginia schools have been offering what they call elective Bible courses for over 75 years. And anybody who didn't participate in it got treated like crap. Bullied, basically. Shunned. Shun the unbeliever, shun. There's some real fun stuff here. If you want to teach Bible in the classroom, the Mercer County School District requires a degree in Bible of the teacher. I went to the flagship university of this state, West Virginia University, and they didn't offer a degree in Bible. I took some of their religion department classes, and nope, sorry, no degree in Bible. Nope, not at all. And along the way, if you're sitting through the Bible in the classroom class, you get to see pictures of Jesus being, well, somebody's imaginative recreation, no photography back then, you know, of a guy named Yeshua, a brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, an itinerant semi-literate rabbi, being whipped within an inch of his life and tortured. And then there's another depiction of Yeshua having been beat all to hell drag and a cross along the Via Dolorosa. And this is, you know, this is especially fun for the fifth graders, the younger tykes there. A depiction of him being nailed right in. You know, that's what they did. They nailed him up to the cross, and they put a sign above him that says, "I'm I-N-R-I, stands for I'm nailed right in." And, right. And then there's a picture of Jesus flying up into heaven with his jetpack and his helium pants. You betcha. And if kids opt out of the class, they don't get anything better. I guess they get sent to study hall or something. Mm-hmm. And while all their other kids are having so much fun learning about dolphins having baby dolphins. Yeah. Freedom From Religion Foundation issued a statement. They said, "We hope the school district will finally put an end to these indoctrinating Bible classes and to any attempts to bring them back. No family should suffer the way this family did just because it was unwilling to have religion forced upon it in a public school system." Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is, it's not even... I mean, this is because Christians don't necessarily get along with other Christians. And if Mercer County was not populated mostly by evangelical fundamentalists, I mean, can you imagine a Roman Catholic family sitting through a bunch of Protestant witnessing? Right, yeah. Or a Seventh-day Adventurer being... they don't even go to church on Sundays, the heathens. That's why they're Seventh-day Adventurers. Sunday's not the seventh day, it's the first. But this is, in many ways, West Virginia is a lawless place. Oh, yeah. At least when it comes to trying to establish state-sponsored religion. What's that? Scott in San Diego says, "Right-wing religious crazies. They won't be satisfied until America takes on the attributes of an apocalyptic Jack Chick gospel comic book." Well, you gotta admit, Scott, I mean, having read a few Jack Chick comic books in my time, it might not be fun, but it would at least be damned interesting. Randy in PA says, "If I were to dig into the hijab, I would say that why cover the hair for modesty and then put on lipstick and makeup? You have the right to dance funny. You have the right to believe in religions that don't make sense. You have the right to conform. If you give up the right to conform, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of church." Subject line, "I believe," Ron and Raleigh says, "Satanists? I think Anton Lavey and his followers could do a creditable job of running things, since Christians have been doing such a great job of running things, you know, so far. Yeah, they're real good, those yeah, right, yeah. Well, it probably says exactly that, Randy, in the conservative Bible. Randy asks, "Didn't Jesus say, 'Suffer the little children under the border patrol'?" I'm pretty sure they think he did. Yep. I do love me some prayer meeting Wednesday. The devil gets a lot of press. Apparently, Celine Dion, and this is a bizarre story, Celine Dion has a new gender-neutral clothing line for babies. Because why hang them up with all of that stuff before they're even much conscious? She calls her company Celine Nunu. C-E-L-I-N-U-N-U-N-U. And, granted, the clothing's kind of weird. There's some skulls, there's some dark colors. But Monsignor John Essef, 65 years a priest, 40 years a real-life, no-kidding, certified Roman Catholic exorcist, and in fact a teacher of exorcists and the past president of the group that trains exorcists, well, he's not happy about Celine Nunu. Because devils. I'm convinced that the way this gender thing has spread is demonic. Gender thing? Well, I know boys have a gender thing. No, stop that. I'm convinced that the way this gender thing has spread is demonic. It's false. I don't even know how many genders there's supposed to be now, but there are only two that God made. The demonic dimension of creating such a clothing line is very deep. The devil is going after children by confusing gender. When a child is born, what's the first thing we say about that child? It's a boy or it's a girl? You know, that wasn't the first thing I wanted to hear when our kids were born. I wanted to hear, you have a healthy baby. But, you know, maybe some people are hung up on gender like that. I don't know. What's the first thing we say about that child? It's a boy or it's a girl? That is the most natural thing in the world to say. But to say there is no difference is satanic. Yeah. But Monsignor SF wasn't done. To take away the male or femaleness of a baby is hitting at the very heart of nature by denying a simple truth of the way that child was created. People behind this are influencing children to disorder. This is definitely satanic. There's a mind behind it, an organized mindset. The devil is a liar, and there are huge lies being told. This is being done for money. And there is divisiveness that comes from this. Marks of the devil. All this over a onesie. A white onesie with black stars on it. I guess nobody ever bothered to tell Monsignor SF, for instance, that prior to the rise of the Third Reich, pink was actually deemed the color for boys, and blue was the color for girls. But a lot of these Christians get real, real worked up about people's genitals. I can honestly say that I can go through an entire day without thinking of anybody's genitals except my own. But apparently Christians and public school administrating Christians can't. So we have to come back to West Virginia. Sorry. Assistant Principal Lee Livengood. No, I didn't make that up. That's real, because so was the goddess of irony. Assistant Principal Lee Livengood at Liberty High School in Harrison County, which is where Clarksburg is, took it upon himself to confront a student The marching band there at Liberty High School was going on a band trip. And when one student walked out of the bathroom, Assistant Principal Lee Livingood was standing there and confronted the boy about why he was using that restroom. And then, wait for it, said, "Well, if you really are a boy, I want to go in there and I want to see you use the urinal." Because the student in question was a young trans man. Eventually, a chaperone for the trip showed up, at which point Assistant Principal Lee Livingood, who should probably not be anywhere near any students anywhere at all, and probably not even children, said, "I'm not going to lie, you kind of freaked me out," which is hillbilly for "I'm not going to lie, you kind of turned me on." But they can't say that sort of thing. Mark Manchin, and yes, he's a cousin of, is the superintendent of the Harrison County Schools and got a letter from the American Civil Liberties Union of West Virginia and said, "I received a letter from the ACLU with certain demands and certain requirements. I'm reading that information." How often does that happen? Well, I got a letter and I'm definitely reading it because I can read. Everything is on the table with how we're going to deal with this, but I hope anyone listening here today recognizes we take this thing incredibly seriously, and we are very concerned. Preliminary of what I've read and what I've seen in my investigation is that perhaps, now let's go back here for the perhaps. You say you're a boy, I want to see you use the urinal to prove you are. You kind of freak me out. Perhaps this assistant principal did act in an inappropriate way. I will make that decision and determination of how we're going to address it. We want to make sure that this child is protected. You know, I'm glad that Mark Manchin got to that, Superintendent Mark Manchin. But if it was up to me, I would put "we want to make sure this child is protected" at the front end of my remarks and not the sort of last thought. By the way, Lee Livingood was not put on paid leave of absence while the investigation goes on. Lee Livingood has just been left in place there as the assistant principal of Liberty High School in Harrison County, West Virginia. And for anybody who has a trans student in Liberty High School, I don't know how you could send your child to school every day knowing that Lee Livingood was there and feel like your child was safe. And for that matter, people who aren't trans either, because you never know when another urinal challenge is going to come up from Assistant Principal Lee Livingood. Lee Livin' La Vida Loca. It would have been funnier if I hadn't stuttered. Yes. Right. Scott in San Diego. Kids' gender-neutral apparel. Now hold on a Bible-thumping, fire-and-brimstone minute there, Bob. It harms the children and confuses them? I'm sure that the practice of lopping off little boy babies' foreskins within 8 days of their birth isn't traumatic at all. Yeah, I know, there's a whole lot of missing the forest for the very tiny trees in that whole, yes, thing, right. What's that? Dave in Talibandiana says, "Hey, Bob, is the Monsignor advocating that intelligent design is demonic? If there's an intelligence behind this, I think that's what he's saying. Evangelical Protestants will go absolutely nuts." Your buddy Dave. Well, thank you, Dave. That, I don't know that they have to go nuts. That implies motion towards. I think they're already at nuts, which is a matter of it, I think that takes the locative in that instance. Yes. Jesus God. They must have some whopping good standardized test scores at Liberty High School if Principal Lee Livingood is down to worrying about how people go pee-pee. It's enough to make you maybe dabble a dram or two. And we'll just include this as well, because I'm sure this guy's a Christian, because there's a lot of devil talk in it. Bill Deagle, D-E-A-G-L-E, Bill Deagle. I wonder if people around him who are getting drunk ever look at him and say, "Hey, Dill Beagle." Well, Bill Deagle holds himself out as some sort of physician, but apparently he got tired of being in the doctoring business, and there was a lot more money to be made in the White Wing radio business and the, as we can well imagine, nutritional supplement business. Sex clams, anybody? No, Dill Beagle, now see, I did it to myself, he touts himself as heading something called Nutramedical, Bringing Nutrition and Medicine Together, founded in 1998 by Dr. William R. Deagle, M.D. That's got an asterisk. I wonder what the asterisk is for. None of the recommendations are meant in any way to diagnose or treat any particular patient and are provided only as general information. Anyone reviewing these materials should be under the care of a qualified MD-DO integrative physician, coordinating with NDDC or other allopathic and alternative care providers. Signed, Dr. William R. Deagle, MD, ABFP, CCFP, CIME, A4M, ACOEM, ACAM, AAEM, MEN, 4MEN, MOUSE. No, I added those last few bits, but he has a wellness program and lots of nutritional supplementation integrated with allopathic medicine. Well, he wasn't practicing allopathic medicine when he got behind the microphone recently. No, you may recall from last night, Titanic Tuesday, that we had a clip from Josh Bernstein. You may recall that Josh Bernstein was getting right worked up and said that he wanted Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and a whole bunch of other people to be locked up. But when they weren't locked up, he wanted them to be a building of the border wall. Well, in an example of how incestuous this weird little wingnut world is, Bill Deagle interviewed Josh Bernstein this past Monday. And, well, apparently, Hillary Clinton and Bill lives rent-free inside Bill in between Bill Deagle's ears. Oh, wait a minute. We got to back up to Lee Livingood. Brother Deacon Asa says, do we know Principal Lee Livingood's middle name? Is it Cotton Top? Please, sweet baby Jesus, let it be Cotton Top. So that would be Lee Cotton Top Livingood. Yeah, there's a that's worth a jingle. Yeah, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I needed that. But no, the topic, because the topic of Hillary Clinton always comes up, and Bill Deagle. Well, he has a prescription. In fact, you could say that he was afforded the gift of prophesying.
Let me give you some medical issues. Firstly, Bill Clinton is sitting with multiple vessel cardiac and vascular disease. He's probably not going to be around in a few years. Hillary Clinton is in end-stage Parkinson's disease, and she's having these choking spells because that's what happens when you get to the end stage of it. And whoever her doctors are, they're not, they're idiots. These doctors aren't taking care of her properly. As a result, she's going to die soon. So this idea she's going to run again or be a king or queen maker, no, not going to happen. She's going to die. Her soul will be harvested by the dark side of the devil and his minions. Unfortunately, because I pray for the woman, because she is a victim of an evil family that cursed her as a little girl and made her indwelt by a transdimensional demonic entity.
You know what makes it? Fading up the string music there in the background, right as he says, transdimensional demonic entity. You can't fake that kind of stuff. Was it her family that was evil and cursed her, or was it the evil family next door? Was the guy ever heard to speak French and then be and then be attacked by his wife? I mean, but you, no. Apparently, this cursing and this trans-dimensional demonic entity business is not as rare as we might dare hope.
Same way as many of these people in high-level masonry, they give their soul over to the dark side, and it's too damn late they don't realize what they've done.
You know, it's been a while since we've had a really good Freemason freakout. But I guess your Freemasons aren't allopathic. No. Mm-mm. Sorry. Bill Deagle. Watch this space. Yeah. So here we are at the top of the first hour, having finished the first hour of the program. Thank you very kindly to Ralphs for knocking out $15 of Chris's challenge. There's $85 remaining on it. And remember, there is one tin of Paulman's remaining. And I want to make sure and get that address off to Paul so that when he's ready to ship them, he doesn't have to make more than one trip to the post office. So between those two, we could make a sizable dent in fundraising. And we've still got bills to pay to round out the month and keep the program on the air for the next for the next month. So if you'd like to see your money doubled, for instance. Ralph's $15 got doubled to $30, assuming that we meet the rest of the challenge. If you'd like to double your money, everything up to $85 gets doubled at this point. Just head on over to headon.live and click the PayPal link there, and that's how we keep it all going and all the plates spinning on all the sticks. Okay, and I guess we'll say that the lines are open now. 304-574-8178, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And then the stress line, the stress line is 304-640-2829, but if you need us to pay the freight on the toll-free call, 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN, and I just checked to make sure the Bluetooth connection is good. It is. And that doesn't mean it'll stay that way, but I've gotten kind of used to that. Oh, goodness me, it's Thomas from FYI Nation. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. How are you tonight?
Just contemplating the mysteries of the Almighty and people named Lee Lovingood who want to watch somebody try to pee in a urinal. I mean.
Well, I got one for you. I got to warn everybody that they might get a video of me having a happy ending because I don't have $704 to pay a hacker. So
what?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I wish I was kidding. Sorry for the cough. I have a video that apparently that I never made of me having a happy ending. And a hacker wants $704 from me through Bitcoin. Now, if they were a real hacker, they would know that I don't ever use Bitcoin because, it's a joke. And that also I don't ever have $704 on me since maybe 2000. So, again, joke. I just find it funny that somebody would go through all that trouble to be that sad and pathetic. Kind of like your guy going through the urinal. You know? So it's apparently raging out there.
I'm sure it is, and this is the time of year when, as our buddy Randy in PA reminded me, if you get any emails that look like they're from shippers or something and say, click here to track, and you haven't ordered anything, and
don't
click.
Yeah.
No click. Click not. Click thou not, lest thou be infected.
Yeah, and the funny thing about the computer that they're talking, like, I don't need to do that anymore. I have a girlfriend. I was never that desperate to take a video like that, or even accidentally. And first of all, if you're accidentally doing that, you're pretty pathetic as is. But
well, I'd kind of like to know how you accidentally do that.
Well,
because it's kind of a multi-step process. It's oops, I hit the camera button. Oops, I slid it over to video. Oops, I started shooting. Oops, I positioned the camera. That's a lot of coinky-dinkies.
Well, yeah, and according to them, they can control the camera. So if they can control the camera, they know that there is no position that my camera makes for said picture of the said happy ending to actually be achieved. Because I use the studio camera for when I do shows.
And oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say you use the studio camera for when you do that.
No. You can't have me laugh and start causing again. But, I was never that desperate to do that. Being bisexual or pansexual or whatever you want to call it, I've never had to be that desperate. You know? And it's just, I just found it funny that they know so much, supposedly know so much about me through their malware that they can't figure that out about me.
Oh, I don't think they've done that much work. They're not. They don't have that much initiative, Thomas.
Well, clearly, I mean, they're hitting me up for money. How desperately sad is that?
Oh, you know? I know. I get a couple of those through Instagram every now and then, and you have a new friend. Whoa! And right.
Yeah. No, it's just I find it funny and sad. We're not doing our New Year's show this year. We typically do something for New Year's, but as you can tell, I'm not up to do it.
You sound a little rough, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm just getting over a cold. I went to Vegas.
You got
to
stop smoking. You got to stop smoking those hand-rolled buglers, okay?
Well, you know, what can I do? I'm trying to deepen my voice. And this is the best way. I could be like Hillary and have onset Parkinson's, too, by the way. Oh, and I love some of my favorite liberals who were on that kick, too. I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure.
Yes, let's don't say we didn't.
But that there are still some liberals who do the Uranium One thing and all that. The outright bogus claims. It's like, you know who you're helping, right? Why are you adding to their help when they can do it all on their own?
Yeah, precisely.
You know? I don't even like mentioning it to bring it up to say they're doing it because I feel like I'm giving credence to it, but it pisses me off where, like, I have a call and we joke about it, but that's you and me. It's not like we're talking about somebody who could become president and that matters. Like her falling down. Remember that whole thing?
Oh, quite, yes.
You know, and the right wing was going after it automatically. And I saw some people on the left go after it who I really respect, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, you really hate her, that woman that much, and you want Donald Trump to win that easily? We didn't need Russia to help.
But unfortunately, they did.
Well, yeah, but it was like, really, all they had to do is stand back and, you know, watch, because our own politics is so volatile, they really didn't need to put as much initiative in, and that's why for a very long time I didn't believe it, because I saw how bad our left was, and, you know, I still have people who think that Bernie stole Hillary's chance, even though Hillary got 3 million more votes And Hillary's the devil, clearly. And butter emails. You know, it,
oh,
it's
Jesus,
just
I'm going to get emails now.
You're going to get emails. Well,
Bernie was robbed, man. Neoliberal establishment shill.
Yeah, that's what I am. That, you know, I'm the first person to say Medicare for all and everything else, but you know, I'm a, and you are too. And clearly people who say that don't know us that well, you know? And I just, since I'm not going to be able to do my annual New Year's show for people who don't have something to do on New Year's, I hope everybody does have a New Year. And I really hope that you can finish out this year strong. One of us has to. So I hope people can donate if they do. And you don't have to sell any medicine for, you know, people like me to get well with. And hopefully you won't get any of those Bitcoin things either. And if you do get any images from me, sorry, because you're on my contacts list. That's what I really wanted to say.
You know, I can't imagine they've got any images, and I will do everything in my power not to click anything for a day or so unless, you know, I don't know. Well, okay, there's nobody listening here. We'll create a password of sorts. You'll put the word rutabaga in the subject line, and I'll know it's really you.
Yeah, because I'll know how to spell that.
I was going to say, you do know how to spell rutabaga, don't you?
That'll work out well.
Okay, well, if it looks even vaguely reminiscent of rutabaga and isn't in Cyrillic script, I'll assume it's from you.
There you go. That's the way to have it. Let's just say it this way. I don't send attachments. So if there's an attachment involved, it's not for me. Because really, do I really want to do that to somebody, some poor person? Here, have a... Yeah, no. So I...
My eyes!
Yeah. I don't want to spend the remainder of the year making it worse for people than it already has been.
Well, you know, if they did something like that with me, I'd have to send along a you know, some sort of magnifying glass attachment too, and you know, and at that point in time, it's just too humiliating.
Well, and speaking of humiliating, I mean, if they're going to be sending porn of me, of all people, out, the people getting it in their contact should be demanding Bitcoin payments for having to have then viewed it, is what should be happening. It's like, because this is what it is, it's torture. You know, so they should get some kind of retribution for having to deal with that kind of torture if they're going to get that type of thing. You know, as I think we all need for 2018, we need some kind of 30 acres and a mule for this year.
40.
Not a border.
40.
Wall. 40 acres, 40, 30. Who's counting?
220, you know? 225, whatever it takes.
Yeah. We need at least one. We, you know? But I will let you go, Bob. And
oh, wait. Okay. You are not alone. Oh. We just got a note from Cynthia. I have to share this with you.
Oh, please.
Hey, Bob, jumping in the show late here, so I'm not entirely sure of what happened with this email stuff, but I received an email a month or so ago threatening me if I did not pay some $800 in Bitcoin to them. They included a password in their email that I had used in the past, including on LinkedIn, and they said they had installed malware on my computer and had noticed the naughty websites I had visited and that they had my entire contact list. They gave me 2 days to pay. I didn't, and they sent another threat offering one more price, but now I had to pay over $900. I ignored it, and nothing happened.
Well, I'm just letting everybody know, because it should be a cautionary tale that, you know, if you see my naughty bits.
Would you stop referring to them, please?
What? Come on. No.
See, we can do this without the reference, because when you refer to them, I have to think of them. And here I was not 30 minutes ago saying I go entire days without thinking of anybody's genitals but my own.
But, Bob, I heard that part, so I had to throw it in there.
I did not know, because that's how you are.
I'm not calling them by name to you.
They have names? Now you're telling me they have names?
Yes. Would you like to know?
No.
Get it over and pull the scab off and be done with it?
No. And scabs, there are names and scab. This is... 7:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the program is well and truly into the gutter tonight.
You're very welcome. I mean, if we're going to bring Satan around to the talking points, and you know, we got to bring the show into the gutter, you know?
Yeah. Jeez. But, you know, it's the fact that you work at it.
Well, I'm good. You got to do what you're good at, Bob. You know, and I got two You Don't Say's on Saturday night at 8 o'clock to plug those on FYNation.com, where I get to go off the rails for a whole hour with Leslie. And that's it for the rest of the year. And that's if I can control my voice. So I got to call you up and say hello. And, you know, I'm not sending you the video that I didn't make. It's not, you know, it's not like I'm doing that.
You're not helping yourself. You realize this, Thomas, right?
No. Oh, I'm very good at not helping myself. You should ask all my exes. There's a list.
I mean, I can't imagine you standing at a buffet at this point, standing at a buffet line and having somebody say, "Hey, Thomas, help yourself." No.
See, you're not supposed to make me laugh, then I'll start coughing up another lung like Hillary.
apparently you've tapped into the cultural zeitgeist. I just got a note from Jack in Shreveport. Email threat, me too. I got the same thing with one of my old passwords. I ignored it, but am doing some precautionary password changes, etc. Anyway, that's probably a good idea.
Well, Mike, I don't know if this was a good idea for anybody or not, but I listened to Edward Snowden, made my passwords a phrase, and I'm not going to obviously give out the phrase that my passwords are. But it includes the character numbers, and it's very long and tedious and annoying. So whenever I have to share it with certain people who I do, they're like, "Really, Jesus Christ?" You know, and maybe that's what my password should be. I think that's a wise precaution. Every once in a while, you know, change your passwords, feel safe. And then that way, with something like this, you don't have to worry about it. And really, hitting up through Bitcoin for money, scam. I'm kind of depressed that I haven't gotten any of the Nigerian save me letters this year. You know, it's a bad year when nobody wants me to save them from something.
Or share their multi-million dollar bequest.
I know. I have not. I don't know what it is, but I haven't gotten them this year, and I'm desperately sad about that. I feel unwanted, Bob. You know, that's where I'm at. I feel unwanted. But I wanted to call you and, you know, thank you for this year. And in case we don't talk before the year's out, wish you a happy new year and everybody else in the horn community.
Well, you know, if you'll give that throat a little bit of rest, maybe we will talk before the year's out.
I know, right? And it's only day two of this. This happened from me going to Vegas, so I think somebody on the plane gave me something through the recycled air.
You've been on an aircraft? Okay, well, that's easy enough. You sat there and breathed pressurized viral stew.
Well, and the worst part was my first flight out there before I even got sick. And I was fine. I was on the last seat of the plane, right to the toilet, because the guy decided he was going to take my window seat.
Oh, so, so you're flying out there, and you're going in one direction, and that means when somebody sneezes in first class, all the little vicious molecules and viruses and shit, you know, the plane keeps going, but they wind up and they just hit, and you're in the last, and it all just hits you in the face like a cream pie.
Yeah, so Delta made me sick is basically what I'm saying. You know, though I got them back on the flight back. I made everybody else sick. So what goes around comes around in the long run. Kind of like Hillary's emails.
Exactly.
Got to throw that in there. But I will shill for you all year next year, because that's what I do. And you know I adore you. And we will talk soon, and hopefully before then, if I can control this.
Neoliberal establishment shill, yes.
Amen. I got Barack Obama's email right on standby. He's gonna get the dick pic. Just so you're aware.
Oh, you know, sometimes people, it seems like they deliberately challenge my sobriety.
You know, that's what I'm here for, Bob.
That was like a shot right to the solar plexus.
That's why they have all the meetings. People like me.
I need more meetings.
But all my love and give my love to the family, and we will talk.
Well,
soon,
okay? and all of it coming back at you, Thomas. Get well. By the way, Randy in PA says you should try some honey dissolved in hot water with lemon juice because of its antiviral properties. And if you can do it, and Randy's absolutely right about this, always keep some locally sourced honey on hand.
I should start doing that. Something like that. I think my mom has some upstairs.
You know, if you're there in the Rippy Mart and you got this, the little container of honey looks vaguely like a bear cub, and you look on the back and it says from honey farms in, Ashtabula. No.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your farmer's market or whatever there and try to find some locally sourced honey because it works wonders.
Yeah, I've heard that before, so I should probably give it a shot and be done with it.
And you can also, in your nutrition supplement store. See, I need to get into the nutritional supplement gig. If you've got a reliable source for royal jelly, the antiviral, antibacterial properties of that stuff are amazing.
See, I never think about this stuff until I'm actually sick, and this is when people give me the hints.
See, the royal jelly is the stuff that they make in the beehive that they give the bee to turn it into a queen.
Okay.
And then the next thing you know, it's walking around on 6-inch heels and feather boas and it, right.
Now that's a video. See what I did, Bob?
Yes, I do. Let's see. You get a jingle for that.
Yay! I wanted one this year, and I got one. There you go. You made my day. So I will let you go so I don't cough up a lung like Hillary. And we will talk soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for not barfing up a lung on my air.
Definitely. My pleasure.
Yeah, you're just that. You're that kind of guy. Take care, Thomas. Happy New Year. Happy Christmas.
Hey, member.
You later. Too. There's nothing quite like a call from Thomas. Let's see. What do we have? Ron and Raleigh, subject line, new scam. I got a phone call from Microsoft saying that because of some computer maintenance that was not completed because the company went out of business, I'm due a refund of $499. I guess people think you get stupid when you get older. Microsoft went out of business? Do tell. Oh. And big thanks to Anatole. We have just knocked down, we've got Chris's challenge down to only $35 to go between Anatole and Ralph's. Thank you very, very kindly, Anatole. $35 to go, and everybody doubles their money. And that leaves us with like $135 to go to finish the evening. And remember, the Palmans remain on the table. There's one tin of Palmans remaining. That you will enjoy them immensely. If you're a beer kind of person, the Palmans with a stout or a porter. Just saying. Let's run over to the stress line and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, Heather. How about you?
I'm fine, thanks. I just heard Thomas. And I feel bad that he had the cold, or that he has cold. And it's kind of sad that he's not going to do his New Year's show this New Year's. But, you know, stuff does happen. But, oh, my goodness. Some of those people you were talking about, oh, my gosh. When is it ever
just another day in God's America, Heather?
Like, yeah, I know. When is it ever going to get to the point where people? Oh, who was it? They were talking. Oh, what was it that was bothering me? When you started, they were talking about the lady that who wanted to wear the
hijab. Yes.
The hijab. Well,
or as he's been known to pronounce it, hijab.
Well, in my state, she's not going to wear a hijab. She's going to wear a dress from Palestine. So God only knows what's going to happen then, but, you know, she's...
Oh, I'm sure people are lining up. Jew hater!
Yeah. But no, I mean, because of one of the... You know, I always was taught, and my mother beat this into my head, and I'm so proud she did, that there's freedom of religion, separation of church and state, and other things like that. Why don't some of these people actually get this? That's my issue. It really is. It just drives me crazy.
Well, they don't, Heather, get it because they don't want to get it. You know, the people didn't vote for Donald Trump. The maggots didn't because they thought he was going to build a wall. They didn't vote for him because they thought he was going to lock up Hillary. They didn't vote for him because they thought he'd be a great president or that he'd make America great again. They perceived early on that he would validate their own personal bigotries. And that is why they voted for him.
Well, not only does he have some bigotries, his VP, oh my God. And I will say this, some of the shit that his VP wants to try, or even tried in Indiana, would make people's heads spin. I mean, this guy was really, really bad. And I will say, I did hear the other night, because I live in what they call Michiana, I live close enough to South Bend to get their news. Their mayor's not going to run for a third term. It was Pete Buttigieg. I can't pronounce his last name. I think it's Pete Buttigieg. But at the very end of the report, or somewhere in that, they did mention, will America ever be able to handle having a gay president? I love the fact that they mentioned it, but oh my God, I bet that made the right wingers crazy. But I'm actually proud that they did mention that. And I think, you know, no matter what he does, he'll do fine. And he's just who he is. And that's cool. So at least good for them. But of course, it's always going to be one step forward, another step back. So who knows?
Well, and that's on a good day, Heather. In Merca, It's mostly one step forward, attempt to take two steps back, step in a hole, and then fall backwards, land on a rake, and brain yourself.
But like I said, I was glad, though, that my local ABC went ahead and did a really good report on the mayor of South Bend.
Good. Well,
that can be helpful to people. And they did also say that with the younger people who are very accepting of gays, lesbians, bisexual, and transgender, that anything can happen. So, you know, I'm happy for them as far as that goes. So I just give them props for what they did. So that's just me.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Heather, I hope you have a happy holiday season and a happy new year if we don't talk again before then.
Okay, you too.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
That's Heather calling from, what was that, Michiana? Yeah, that's the rough, tough border area between Michigan and Talibandiana. Hey, thank you, Arthur. Arthur jumped in, and we've got $32 to go now with a message. Always keep locally sourced honey in your life. Fee-foo, 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 fee-foo-foo. Foo-foo-foo. That must be an inside joke that I missed somewhere along the way. Robert in Australia tells us a tax office scam in Australia. This is happening here, too, so I assume it's happening everywhere. Organized criminal gangs are cold-calling Australians and claiming to be from the Australian tax office. They ask you for your name to confirm they're talking to the correct person. Then they claim that you owe the ATO huge amounts of money, and if you don't transfer it that day, they'll be sending the police round to arrest you. It's estimated that they've stolen several million dollars already, mainly from more trusting older Australians unfamiliar with phone scams. P.S. My favorite response to people who threaten that they have put malware on my computer is to say, computer, but I don't have a computer. This is usually followed by click. Yeah. They do that. They do that with the. This is the IRS calling, and they have said they've scared the bejesus out of some people in this country, Robert. And, generally speaking, they don't operate. The real entity doesn't operate like that. So, but I don't have to tell you, this is one of the, if not the most intelligent radio audience out there. So no, I don't think you're likely to be taken in. And like I said, at the halfway mark of the program, we have $32 remaining on Chris's challenge. And after that, $135 to come even with the evening. So hopefully, and that'll make Thursday and Friday a little less harrowing. But yeah, if we could knock out that last $32, that way everybody gets their money doubled from, Arthur and Arthur and Ralphs and Anatole. Okay? So let's keep the conversation going and check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. They stole my identity a couple of years ago. And it was
Did you make them pay to give it back?
No, I didn't have to. They brought it back. They left it on the step overnight.
This thing's useless.
Yeah, exactly. I said, who the hell would want to be me anyway? You know? I mean, come on.
It's a pity. It's a pity he's gone to his long home, because that would be a perfect Rodney Dangerfield bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no respect. Somebody stole my identity. They brought it back.
Do you know his story? How he became a comedian and all that?
I know he worked the rubber chicken circuit for a long damn time.
Well, he was an aluminum siding salesman working out of New York, but working mostly northern New Jersey. And his father, I think, was in showbiz on the periphery. And he decided he was going to give it a go. And used to hang out at Hanson's drugstore in Manhattan somewhere with Lenny Bruce and a lot of the, younger comedians who were just getting their start back in the day, in the early 50s or whatever. And he performed for a while under the name Jack Roy and went nowhere. I mean, he had actually got so bad he went back to the aluminum siding business. And there's more to it, but I think on YouTube, from the A&E show Biography, there's a 1 hour or maybe an hour and a half biography about Rodney Dangerfield. He had quite the interesting rise to stardom in the early to mid 60s, and there was no looking back after that. So, and I believe I heard, I don't know whether it was on that show or read it elsewhere, but he apparently smoked a couple of joints every day, which has got to help your attitude when things are looking bleak.
It would probably help mine.
Well, yeah.
I just can't do that and come on the air, because it would be nothing but the sound of me eating potato chips and having the munchies. And
you're talking about royal jelly. Royal honey. A doobie a day keeps the doctor away. Actually, the doctor might show up. Yeah, don't bogart that bad boy, says the doc.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. He's singing again.
Well, earlier you alluded to one of these right-wing nut jobs. You played a little tape, and he was talking about the Masonic people. And isn't there a school of thought, and I put thought in quotation marks, with some of these crazies, that the founding fathers were all Masons?
It's not a school of thought among crazies. It's a freaking fact. Not all of them, but a bunch of them were. Freemasonry was quite popular. George Washington was. I mean, he was famously painted with his little apron on.
Oh, I know. Have you ever been to the Masonic Temple on the hill there in Alexandria, Virginia?
I've driven by it, but I've never been in it.
It looks like a big paperweight up on a hill.
Yeah.
It's like the highest point in Alexandria. And, they've got some of George Washington's Masonic regalia, his trowel and his apron and a bunch of other stuff. But if next time you're in D.C., try to take a half a day and take the tour. They give little free guided tours. And it's really kind of interesting. Plus, you can go up to the top of it and look out over the landscape.
Yeah, it's huge.
But, I know a lot of the founders were Masonic adherents. But the right-wing crazies try to make that be some bad thing. Demonic and... You know, they laid out Washington, D.C. to conform to Masonic beliefs and rituals about angles and God knows what else. But I don't know. But don't they think that they're like the Illuminati is what the Masons were?
I think they were like a local subsidiary or something. Yeah.
I don't know. I get my wild
For the sake of the widow's son.
I don't get that.
You've never seen The Man Who Would Be King?
Oh, maybe a long time ago. Is that Sean Connery?
Yeah, and Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it in years, but yeah, I recall it, but not to where I can quote lines. But I don't know. There are so many crazy fucking beliefs. If it wouldn't ruin the YouTube playback of the show, there's about a 6-minute bit that George Carlin does about religious headgear and different types of Bibles and swearing in on the Bibles. I think it's one of the best damn anti-religion things that he ever did. And, you know, I know you don't like to mess up the YouTube feed of the individual show, but it is worth your time. And if you don't play it on the show, you can play it.
Yeah, I've heard it. I've seen it / heard it before. I'll check it out after the program.
But he goes into the business of, in some religions, men are required to wear special headgear when they walk into the place of worship, and women are not allowed to wear headgear at all. But then in other religions, it's verboten for men to wear headgear inside the religious place. But women must, you know, wear the thing. And then he goes into the different types of hats that the Pope wears and the Cardinal wears and the Imam and the Rabbi and God knows who else. and it's just what they call a hoot. So, anyway.
Yeah, I remember some reference of, and this goes to show how long ago he was doing the bit, a comparison between Woody Hayes and Walter Alston. Woody Hayes, the notorious coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, and Walter Alston, the long-serving manager of the Dodgers.
Okay. But anyway, and then he gets into the Bibles. You know, where did the custom of swearing on the Bible come from? And what if there are pages missing? Or it's a blank Bible? Or, you know, it's written in Chinese? Or it's upside down? I don't know. I'm doing the bit. I probably
right and offering some perspective on this. Robert writes in from Australia. What you wear is the subject line. If Christian women can grow their hair down to the floor and dress like it's 1880 frontier America, then Muslim women can also dress as they find fit. I'm off to the mall for my daily walk, where I expect to see lots of women, some with headscarves, some without. It's none of my business. Speaking of which, as a kid at Catholic Church, my mother had to wear a headscarf. All the women had to wear headscarves, for some reason. This law was dropped sometime in the 1970s, also for some reason. I think, what, the Spanish name for it is mantilla?
I don't know.
Big highfalutin lace head covering that keeps a woman's sinful hair from sending the priests and all the men in the congregation into paroxysms of sexual frenzy?
Well, the nuns had that covered, the old school nuns.
Covered?
Oh, God, from head to toe. And if they could somehow go beyond the soles of the feet, you know, into the subterranean depths, they probably would have done that. I'm the first day of Catholic school, first grade, September of 1960. I guess I had seen pictures of nuns or seen them in the church or whatever, but man, they were scary. You know, because they spoke with the authority of God. They did, and the priests did too, which is why children were being set up for abuse, because you can never question what a nun or a priest says to you or does to you or does with you.
Yeah.
You know?
They wonder why they are cesspits of child abuse and child torment and child rape, and they're never able to realize that the authoritarian structure under which they operate is exactly why.
Yeah, well, it's built into the system. It's like a perfect breeding ground. I'll never forget, I knew a guy who got booted out of seminary, I guess back in the 60s. I knew him from my days in D.C., and he said that you know, was talking about living in the whatever this seminary or place was where he was living with a bunch of other priests. And he said, you just wouldn't believe some of the stuff that went on, you know, and like,
oh, I would.
Well, yeah, you would. And I would too, you know, having grown up in all that madness. But, you know, one day a week on Sunday, they're preaching hell, fire, and repression, you know, don't have an occasion of sin, you know, and anything above your knees and below your navel, don't look at it, think about it, touch it, or even acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah, but in all this context, you just have to remember the basics. The Roman Catholics don't recognize the authority of the Greek Orthodox Patriarch.
Right.
And the Protestants don't recognize the authority of the Pope. And Southern Baptists don't recognize each other at the liquor store.
Right. And as Tom Lehrer sang, the Hindus hate the Muslims and everybody hates the Jews. I think that straightens us all out in terms of the pecking order. But it's all bullshit.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could do something about that hate. But there was a story out there, since you kind of walked us into it. Just a not so gentle reminder of the depths to which we have sunk here in Trump-merca. And it's a sign. A sign. A sign.
Show us a sign.
It, right. and it's, it's terrifying.
Does it say, blessed are the cheesemakers?
No, it says, it's a handmade sign with handmade spray paint. Well, okay, the spray paint wasn't handmade. The sign was handmade by spray painting. Okay, does that make a little more sense?
Yeah, and you got to figure there was some huffing going on in the creation of the sign.
It was just put up in this dark and still of the night outside the Holocaust Memorial Museum of San Antonio, Texas this week. Once it was found, it was immediately taken down, but it simply said fake news with an arrow pointing toward the Holocaust Museum and then hashtag MAGA.
God.
I think that's pretty, you know, well, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming. Nazi.
Well, it's like you say, it's, pardon me, it's Trump America. I remember seeing a sign, when was that? I guess it was my senior year in high school, which would have been 71 into 72, walking home from school one day, and the route that I took was a different route than I would have ordinarily taken. I think I had to go by somebody's house and drop something off. But anyway, the route took me past a synagogue. And you got to remember the time frame, late 60s and into the early 70s. There was a big controversy over whether or not the Soviets would allow Jews in the Soviet Union to emigrate to Israel. And they weren't. They were persecuting them, but yet they wouldn't let them leave. And outside the synagogue in Alexandria was a big sign, not quite the size of a billboard, but pretty close. And it was on the ground, like it wasn't elevated or anything. And you know, it's very nicely painted. It said, Save Soviet Jewry, J-E-W-R-Y, which was the slogan back then in support of the Soviet Jews who weren't being allowed to emigrate. And somebody had sprayed underneath of it, Win valuable prizes. You know?
Jesus.
Soviet Jewry, and then underneath in spray paint, Win valuable prizes, which is not at all productive or helpful.
Well, but again, of course, the problem is not limited to the United States whatsoever. A teenage boy in the United Kingdom was at a shopping center when he came over all out of Nazi and decided to bend down and draw a swastika on one of the tiles of the flooring. Now, that tile had the word 13 on it, so that's the one he chose. I think he must be a fuck-up because he must have been thinking about the 14 words. But people saw him doing it, and then people, and you know, yay, United Kingdom, yay, merry old England. The kid is surrounded by security officers, and they've handed him tissues and some spray cleaner, and a woman is videoing him, and he tries to stare her down, and she says, clean it up, dickhead. Shameful. You should be ashamed.
Jeez.
But I like it. More Nazis should be, well, maybe that makes me crass, but clean it up, dickhead. And then she continues and says, look at how many people are looking at you. I hope he feels like an idiot. Clean it, dickhead.
Well,
good for them. Good for them.
I back in my senior year, I think I told you the story once of wanting to bring an actual Nazi to sociology class for show and tell.
only if it's in a jar without air.
No. This was, well, you remember the movie Remember the Titans, the Denzel Washington movie?
Sure.
It's about the high school that integrates. They consolidate 11th and 12th grade in the central high school, and then the one on the east side and west side were 9th and 10th grade only, which balanced out the city's three public school systems racially. Well, that took place my senior year at T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria. I lived through all that stuff. But there was all manner of opposition when they announced that that was what they were going to do. Because, you know that old Beach Boys song, Be True to Your School. Well, kids then and now are true to their school. And they didn't like the idea of monkeying, I don't want to use that word, fucking with the schools as they were currently set up, because of tradition and all this other happy crappy. But underneath of that, you got to figure the high school on the west side was almost all white, and the high school on the east side was almost all black, and the high school in the middle of town was pretty well balanced. Well, this threw a wrench into that arrangement, which is one of the reasons the parents and even a few of the students were not thrilled with the new program. But long story short, the Nazis came to Alexandria when they were getting ready to vote on whether to implement this new plan. And right in our public square, because their headquarters was right over in Arlington, founded by George Lincoln Rockwell, who had been shot and killed by one of his friends a couple of years before that.
Some friend.
Well, he was a former associate, and there was a falling out and some kind of power play. So one day when old George Lincoln Rockwell was at the laundromat doing his Nazi laundry, this is honest to God truth, I'm not making this up, the former associate got up on the roof of the laundromat and shot him as he was carrying his unmentionables in the basket into the said laundromat. God, truth is stranger than fiction. But
At least he didn't wait until the laundry was clean so he'd bleed all over clean laundry. I mean,
well, there you go. But
I can be an optimist.
And the long story short is, because of sociology class looking at the behavior of people in societies and cultures, I thought somehow it'd be a nifty idea to bring a Nazi into class and take questions from the kids, the students, to find out what goes on in their twisted minds. And the teacher kind of went for it, but she had to run it up the the institutional flagpole.
And it never made it back down, did it?
Well, no, it didn't make it up, much less back down. So the next best thing was to arm me with a reel-to-reel tape recorder and a stack of questions on cards from the students. Because it wasn't just the class that I was in. That teacher taught about four or five other classes in sociology during the course of the day. So I had a big old fat pack of index cards, and I went on over to the Nazi headquarters and did the interview with, what was that guy's name? He was a little, and this is not a joke, he was a little short guy in a Nazi uniform, and he wore a mustache. Go figure. Matt Kale.
Oh, K-L-H-E-L. I thought you were going to say Stephen Miller, but yeah.
But no.
But this guy didn't have spray on hair, did he?
No. Well, I saw a picture on Facebook last night where he's got a new hairpiece, but it's the head of a rat to cover up the bald place.
Well, no, the Sunday appearance with his spray on hair was for the ages. It was. I realize we're being shallow in mentioning that, but it was. It was for the ages.
Given the target of our comments, I think that's not a bad
thing. More than fair. Well, I'm going to roll, Scott, because I got somebody on hold on the other line, and we'll just see where the conversation takes us. But I have, and I have printed Aunt Effie's pound cake recipe, and I'm deeply intrigued.
Uh-oh. I smell the aroma of pound cake baking.
I got to admit, I was a little bit perplexed by the inclusion of nutmeg. All my pound cakes have usually had a vanilla quality to them.
Yeah, well, I think vanilla's in there. But yes, believe me, trust me on this, Bob. The recipe's over 100 years, 150 years old. It's tried and true.
When I make it, I will follow it religiously.
Okay, well,
okay, not religiously, but I'll follow it.
Keep it in the form of an email. I think the Horn listeners would enhance their holiday season by all of them baking one of Aunt Effie's pound cakes for their friends and family.
And remembering Aunt Effie along the way.
Exactly.
Screaming, kill him, kill him, break his legs. With those scratch his eyes out. With those two ice-cold Hams beers in hand.
There you go. That's living. Okay, Bob.
All right. Take care, Scott.
See ya.
Later. And onward we go, back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Bob? It's me, Reggie, from Decatur, Georgia, once again. I have a Fox and Friends news report for you.
Yeah?
You got people like such as Tommy Lauren who said that we need a government shutdown to build a border wall, that a shutdown is exactly what we need. That's exactly what she said on Fox and Friends.
Well, she is, of course, an idiot.
She is an idiot. This morning, and speaking of Fox News, or so-called Fox News, or Fix Noise, how do you feel about Tucker Carlson losing his advertisers?
It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And just for the sake of people who may not know what we're talking about, I think I've got the clip here handy. There it is. Yeah, let's play the clip for him, shall we?
Yeah. It's Tommy Lauren.
No, this is Tucker Carlson.
Oh, Tucker Carlson, the one that made him cause him losing 7 advertisers.
Yeah, this is This is Tucker Carlson discussing immigration in Merca.
Right.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Here's a funny thing that we noticed the other day. People debate all the time about mass immigration. What you never hear anybody do is make the economic case for mass immigration. And here's why. Our country's economy is becoming more automated and tech-centered by the day. It's obvious that we need more scientists and skilled engineers, but that's not what we're getting. Instead, we're getting waves of people with high school educations or less. Nice people, no one doubts that, but as an economic matter, this is insane. It's indefensible, so nobody even tries to defend it. Instead, our leaders demand that you shut up and accept this. We have a moral obligation to admit the world's poor, they tell us, even if it makes our own country poorer and dirtier and more divided.
Got that? That's the pull quote. Immigration makes America poorer, dirtier, and more divided. But let's not stop there.
Immigration is a form of atonement. Previous leaders of our country committed sins. We must pay for those sins by welcoming an endless chain of migrant caravans. That's the argument they
endless.
Make. If it sounds like something that some dopey sociology professor at Long Beach State thought up half drunk in the 70s, you're right. That's pretty much exactly what it is. And yet somehow the immigration as atonement idea has become the official position of virtually every guilty liberal in the United States. Our tech overlords, the ones always lecturing you, corporate America, Nancy Pelosi, and Paul Ryan. They all believe this, and anyone who disagrees with them is denounced as a bigot and fired. What's so amusing?
Or loses a whole bunch of his advertisers.
Though is that nobody ever bothered to explain any of these rules to the people of Tijuana. Tijuana is in Mexico, which means they're Mexican citizens. And by academic definitions popular in this country, they must be oppressed. Nobody in the American left ever imagined that the people of Tijuana would display the classic symptoms of white privilege. And yet when a caravan of Honduran immigrants showed up in their city uninvited, that's exactly what they did.
You know, of incidences here in Tijuana and in other cities that some of these people that are coming into these with these caravans are committing crimes. This is not about racism. We don't dislike a certain group of people because they're from a country, one country or another. We are here because our government has not taken control of these, what we call invasion.
The country has to be aware of these people because they are people, they are bad people.
Well, it sounds like a Trump rally.
Surprisingly, yes, Reggie, it does sound like a Trump rally. And I wonder how hard they had to look to find those two guys. But the bottom line is that immigrants make America poorer and dirtier and more divided. That means all immigrants are therefore poor and dirty. And suddenly advertisers are staying away from Tucker Carlson in, you know, droves.
Right. Don't you wish this would happen to more of them? You know, Bob, that more advertisers drop their alliances with Fox News altogether in general, period. I mean, because, you know, they're right-wing propaganda.
Well, they are what they are, but in the final analysis, it's going to have to hurt real bad for Rupert Murdoch to say, nah, pull the plug. But the thing is, if he starts pulling the plug on programs that feature in unrepentant, unreconstructed racism and xenophobia, running SpongeBob.
Or they still have the Simpsons and Family Guy. Or run something else.
Well, that's true. Hey, you know what? That's right. They own the Simpsons and Family Guy. I could be very happy if Fox News was just replaced entirely with reruns of the Simpsons and the Family Guy. And I don't know. Did they have Futurama too?
Well, no.
Oh,
but
darn.
It used to. But so you wish that Fox News would become like the way of the dinosaur extinct. You know what I mean?
You know, it depends entirely on what they want from them.
But what would the Fox News box with the skirts do for a living if they're out of a job? You know, become strippers?
Let's try to keep the misogyny out of it.
Okay.
I'd like
so
to.
What would they do without a job?
You know what? Game show spokesmodel. I mean, go to work in a small or medium or even big market. Who knows? Or maybe actually do journalism somewhere. Theoretically, they're supposed to be able to, but it's never really been proven.
Right. Don't they have to go to journalism school for that? Because you don't want no idiots out there reporting news like they're doing Fox News.
I understand. I understand.
Yeah, because, you know, real journalism versus fake journalism, right?
Right, sure.
And why do they have Tommy Lauren working for them?
Because she draws. She draws an audience.
Right. You mean like Laura Ingraham and the rest of them, right? Laura Ingraham and Denise Pira and the rest of them, right?
Sure.
They draw an audience too, right? And I got some NRA news for you too, Bob.
Yeah.
It's from yesterday, but it's the NRA connection behind the Parkland School Safety Commission's recommendation of arming school teachers. What do you have to say about that, Bob?
That it's crazier in the head than the hog is in the ass?
Yeah. They'll never, you think they'll actually want to do that? That's dangerous, you know. That'll set a dangerous precedent. You know how many kids the teachers have to teach every day? You know, 5 days a week, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to have a yard in class, and what if one of those students finds it? you know, if the drawer is not locked, you know what I mean? And what if it's fully loaded? What do you think would happen then? You know? There'll be another, you know, another massive school shooting. If they found that gun in the teacher's drawer, which isn't properly locked or probably, you know, or the gun probably empty, you know, unloaded, with the bullet separated from the weapon. You know what I mean, Bob?
Well, that's possible.
Well, what
yeah.
do you have to say about all this, Bob? And why would they want school teachers armed in the first place?
Because they're idiots,
right.
Reggie. I mean, sometimes the simple answer is the easiest one, because they're idiots.
They're idiots. And what if these teachers don't know how to use a gun? Right?
Oh, no. They'll have a provision in there saying that the teacher has to be trained on the proper use of the sacred firearm. But
right.
it doesn't much matter.
No, it doesn't. Because I thought schools have a zero tolerance policy for weapons or anything else. Violent, right?
Right, and when something does go sideways, and when some teacher does decide to squeeze a few rounds off at his or her charges, the people that were
yep.
all for arming teachers will do one of two things: disappear and not be found or heard from again, or they will say, "Well, see, I mean, anybody can go bad. This was a law-abiding gun owner, and sometimes bad things just happen," and evade generally the fact that they wanted that in the first place. But by the way,
right.
just to go back to Tucker Carlson for a minute, since you brought him up,
yeah.
Reggie,
yeah.
it should be
yeah.
noted that he doubled down on his
yeah.
dirty poor immigrants comment.
Right, he doesn't want to lose his job, correct?
Well, no, he's not gonna back off.
Right.
Because he doesn't have to, but meanwhile, yeah, his advertisers
yep.
are staying away from him in droves.
Yep.
The latest to dump him are, Pacific Life has pulled out of his program, an insurance company.
Right.
Nerd Wallet has bailed. Minted
right.
has bailed. Let's see if we
right.
got another one here.
Okay. Right. Right. Boy.
And, of course, Fox News is saying far-left activist yeah. groups are making these corporations drop advertising. And it never occurs, you know, I guess it never occurs to Fox that, well, maybe people that are offended by that kind of racist xenophobic talk might not want to do business with people who support it.
Right. And just like they dropped left and right on Rush Limbaugh because Andrew Smoker's slut. Right?
And yet he is still on the air. But Pacific Life
yes.
has bailed out, Indeed has bailed out, Smile Direct Club has bailed out, Bowflex is gone, NerdWallet and Minted are gone, Voya Financial
right.
is gone, Ancestry.com left, Jaguar Land Rover roved on away from Tucker Carlson, IHOP bailed out, Just for Men called it quits, Scotty Vest said
right.
no thanks, Zenni Optical, Lisa, TD Ameritrade, United Explorer, Career Builder, Takeda Pharmaceuticals, all have decided that no thanks, they'll pass on running Tucker Carlson anymore. Reggie, it's good to hear from you, my friend. I'm going to roll on, but you take care. And if we don't talk again before the holidays, I hope you have happy ones.
Right, but as I would say to you always, it's funny how when the advertisers drop, they still remain on the air, the host themselves. But if any liberals said and did anything like they did, they'd be gone along with the advertisers, correct?
That's absolutely true.
They'd be fired, right?
Yeah, sure.
They'd be fired.
Yeah.
Why is it double standard for them and not for us?
Because mass media are owned, for the most part, by conservative Republicans or corporations that are headed by conservative Republicans.
Right. So in other words,
Keith Olbermann, the Keith Olbermann situation comes to mind. Yeah.
Right. They practically own talk radio and TV, right? And possibly the internet, right? or is that the last holdout for us, the internet?
Well, most of the internet service providers are right wing, but they haven't found they haven't found a way to shut down little operations like this just yet. Reggie, you have yourself a good night. Take care now.
You too, Bob, and happy holidays and happy very happy New Year to you and yours too, man.
Thank you very kindly, man. We'll talk soon. Later.
All right, man.
That's Reggie calling from the greater Atlanta area. Both lines are open if you want to jump in, 304-574-8178, or Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype is on one computer. Then, of course, there's the stress line. That's what Reggie was on. Toll-free, 844-843-4676, or 304-640-2829. 10 past the hour, and again, we got $32 to finish Chris's challenge. Let's please not leave a $100 doubling challenge on the table. That would be a real pity. And we have one tin of Palmans yet remaining for some lucky soul who will have some wonderful, a wonderful snack for New Year's. And, well, I mean, it goes with a lot of great stuff, but like I said, a nice porter or a stout. Yeah. Okay, I bet this is, I'll bet you this is Flavio. Hey, Flavio, is that you?
Hey, good evening.
How are you?
Good.
You sound a little perkier than you did.
Victorious.
Ah, have you triumphed?
I have triumphed. A little while back, back in September, my historic building in downtown La Crosse was taken over by the Lutheran Hospital conglomerate here. You know, they have a Catholic and a Lutheran hospital.
Well, it's Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin. And anyway, so they got to compete with the Lutheran Hospital across the street, where they have a, you know, a Mayo clinic. And so they bought out my building, and they're going to build a dental arts practice, the Lutheran people, where the old appliance and electric store used to be, Weststein's, and so they're tearing up everything downstairs in the basement, and the mice are coming upstairs, and 14 years I've lived here, I've never seen a mouse.
Well, they're about 5 inches long. They got little tails. If they're mice, they have cute little snouts, and they're kind of grayish. Never mind. You said you've never seen a mouse.
Yeah, they're right. Norwegian brown mice, yeah, and they're cute as hell, but they chew up phone lines. And
yeah, I was just riffing on the fact that you'd said in 14 years you'd never seen a mouse. I was just giving a general description.
No, not in my building. No, not in my apartment. Anyway, so I figured out.
You damn Portuguese Brazilians are just you're too literal, Flavio.
No, I got that. It's just that I seem to remember having had this problem in Madison, and the way I fixed it was I made sure that all means of ingress were blocked.
Yes.
Number one, which I did. There was like a gap under my door, and I got some covering for that, and I got a wood cover for that, and foam, and I vacuumed the entire apartment and got rid of anything that they could get into, like, you know, old shoe boxes, whatever, under the bed.
Right. And the other thing is, I mean, it is, after all, Wisconsin, so you want to make sure that you've also badger-proofed your apartment.
Oh, yeah. No. They
can be some mean little bastards.
Oh, God, yes. So I tried the traditional traps, and they're wise to that. They're not stupid. Like, you know, what? I'm going to put my head under the guillotine? Are you kidding? But I got these glue traps, and they work. So there was only two mice. It's been a couple days now. I haven't seen one.
Well, at least you haven't had to resort to electrocuting them like Sparky did.
No. There was only two that happened to get in. But, you know, people think it's because of cleanliness or anything. It has nothing to do with that.
No.
It has to do with the warmth. It's winter. It's cold outside. Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, now we got somebody else singing. Okay.
And they, you know, they're not stupid. They don't want to stay out there. And
man, it's Wisconsin.
Yeah, I know. But they were in the basement where they belong. They weren't on the upper floors, okay,
right,
where the apartments are. But they're tearing everything up downstairs, and that's why, you know, I started getting reports from all my neighbors that they were seeing rodents as well. And I was like,
well, that's because down in the basement, the mice looked around and said, hey, the Lutherans are here. There goes the neighborhood. Let's go upstairs.
Exactly. And tough so crowd. Anyway, I think I fixed the problem. And I cleaned out my closet. There's nothing in the closet.
The mice are out of the closet?
They're declared now. And it was challenging at first because they're so tiny. And they dart and jump and mock you. Yes, they'll hop, skip, and jump across the room and like, ha, 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 catch me if you
can. Yeah, right, with their little paws and their little nose.
Yeah, and I just, okay, we're going to do this scientifically. We're going to get three different kinds of traps, and the one that works is the one we're going to go with.
Have you pondered the idea of, and maybe I'm just crazy here, a cat?
No.
Not a cat guy.
No, it's not that. It's just that my apartment is too small. And then I'd have to take care of it. And I know I'm a solitary guy. I
understand. And then when the cat catches the mouse, it likes to come and eviscerate it in front of you because it's all proud and everything, and you're just not up for that.
No, I don't want head trophies or no. I had a friend of mine. I stayed out in the country with a friend of mine in an old airy house out in Coon Valley. That's what it's called. It's outside of La Crosse.
Yes, I understand. I'm yes.
And and they do have raccoons out there. Yeah, they're all over the place. And she had I have a sister who lives out in the country, a friend, a dear friend who I consider a sister, lived out in the country, now she's not in the country anymore, but used to live out in the country, and I'd go out there for barbecues and everything. And their cats would inevitably bring trophies inside, you know, severed heads and, like, ooh, ee, what is that?
Yeah, it's a little feline horror movie, yes.
Yeah, or they'd consume the head, but the body, they left the body intact, you know.
Wait a minute, I've got to award a cowbell here. Hold on, Flavio. This goes out to Earther. Badgers, how do you think we got Paul Ryan, Bob? A lady felt pity and kissed a badger, and voila. Or was that a weasel?
There you go. That's probably definitely how we got Paul Ryan. Holy cow, that's inspired.
Yeah, it's like the old joke. What is it? How do porcupines have sex? Very carefully.
Ooh, that's bad. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that triumph. You know, I got ribbed on by a friend who said, don't talk to me about that, because he had a mouse problem too. Because he was kind of grossed out about it, and I'm like, nothing to be grossed out about. I mean, it's like, it's an old building, it's downtown. Practically all the buildings downtown have some kind of a problem or other.
Well, but it's Wisconsin, so at least you don't have alligators.
No, we don't have, or snakes.
Give climate change time, though.
Or snakes, you know.
No snakes?
No snakes, no. Just garter. Garters are cute. They hibernate during winter, so.
Yeah, you probably don't have water moccasins. No rattlesnakes?
Yeah, we have rattlesnakes, but.
Well, you know, rattlesnakes fall into the larger empirical category of snakes, Flavio. Mm. But, no, we just had you just got a note in from Darlene in Connecticut. Mice are cute, but disgusting, filthy little things. They cannibalize each other, too. I've seen some awful things happening in my garage. I went through my have-a-heart phase, but the traps didn't work. I was basically giving them food and lodging for the night. I couldn't find the cage-style traps, only these new plastic have-a-hearts that didn't work. So I went back to using the plastic ones that slam down on the neck. The whole trap flip-flops in the air when it slams down, but it works. Learned recently that they really like cashews, and I draw the line if they go after my cashews.
No, actually, I've found that the kill bar traps aren't very effective. I mean, for some evolutionary reason, they've gotten wise to them. And no, I swear by the glue traps, because they will, like, you know, they'll get their little porcine noses, you know, into the, and then all their paws in the trough. Well, it's not a trough, it's a sticky platform. And then they're looking up at you and they can't leave. They desperately want to leave. Now, this wouldn't work for a rat, because they're heavier and they're like cats, you know, they're like, meow.
Yeah.
We're getting out of here. No, they'll just sit there, terrified, looking up at you, and you just calmly put it in a brown paper bag and take it outside to the dumpster. And that's that. Problem solved. And there were only two. I haven't seen any in the last couple of days. So I must have taken care of the problem.
Victory is yours.
Victory is mine. And I have sealed all the means of ingress, which was a problem, because there was like...
Well, you learned a little bit more about your space, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, they dart. Like, it's like a little bullet going across the room. It's like, what the fuck was that?
No,
and
I thought it was
a roach. I thought, you know, because we do have roaches. We get sprayed every 2 months or whatever. Again, it's an old building.
It's gonna.
We have pest control. It keeps the population down. At least, you know. I don't keep food out. I take my trash out every day. Or every other day.
Yeah.
I don't let anything fester. Okay.
Don't let it. You don't. You know, lead them. You know, you're being Christian about it. Lead them not into temptation.
Exactly. And so it's not. You know, it's not a matter of cleanliness. And I got rid of the clutter because I used to be a real pack animal, or pack rat.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got rid of. A couple of years ago. I just had a kind of a, can I say a Greek word if it's not swearing?
You can say any word you want to, even if it is.
It's a metanoia. Have you heard the word metanoia?
No, I mean, I kind of...
Like a profound transformation.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
A metanoia?
Yes.
It rhymes with paranoia.
Yeah, I have a new word now.
I had a metanoia a couple of years ago, and my landlady told me that the trash was emptied daily and was incinerated at the local incinerator. Because for some paranoid reason, I was thinking they were going to steal my identity. I don't know why. I have no money. You know that.
Well, actually, I don't, but I mean, I'll take your word for it.
And when she told me that, I just went, you know, ape. Hog crazy. And I just threw practically 80 bags of just papers that I'd
accumulated detritus of one's existence.
Yeah, if I haven't touched it for 10 years, why am I keeping it around the apartment?
There we go.
Why, and, you know, it was that kind of a transformation, but what clinched it for me was when the landlady told me, and I confirmed it because, you know, I observed it, the waste management people come and take it away to the local incinerator, and it gets incinerated every day. You know, so, or, you know, recycled or whatever. Well, the recyclables at least once a week.
Well, if you do have to deal with it again, just a little piece of advice: what makes the snap bar traps work is it can't be a bait that they can easily get away with.
No,
So if you'll use a little dab of peanut butter.
I did, and you put a Cheerio in there, so they can, you know, have to hit the, so they have to work at it. No, I tried that. I really did, and I even tried the Victor.
You're kind of a Renaissance man, so I'm not surprised that you would have Renaissance mice for your vermin.
That's what it. You know, they're very sophisticated. You know, and
little tuxedos, ball gowns.
I even put Roquefort. Okay. You know, it was like something out of Ratatouille. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Oh, it's so sweet. And I put Roquefort in there. That's expensive stuff.
Oh, I like Roquefort.
Well, it was Mindoro blue cheese, but the Wisconsin variety. Anyway, it was cheap, but it did the trick. It was stinky. It was the point. And they didn't touch it. I'm like, come on. It's Mindoro blue.
It's not French.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to fool them.
No, these are Wisconsin mice. You can't pass off a low rent cheese to a Wisconsin mouse. That might work with an Alabama mouse or a Tennessee mouse. But not a Wisconsin mouse. I mean, they probably got cousins up in
Madison.
Up in Elwood. You know, there at the at the creamery, and you know,
or Minneapolis.
They know, sharp mice.
So it was kind of an odyssey at first, but it's nice just to not see little things that go bump in the night and.
Yeah, it's the scratchy sound. See. Back here in the studio, you know, there's no duct work and there's no central air, no central heat, no central anything. And from time to time, we'll see a mouse. And I've seen them during the course of the program, and you're right, they're just a little blur, just and they do it just out of the corner of your eye because they know they're going to catch your eye and you're going to go, oh, you little bastard. And so, no, I know what you're talking about.
No, it's just, I'm like, not, okay, it's not like I'm terrified, okay? I'm not, they can't do me any harm, okay?
Right, I don't stand on the chair and scream or anything, but...
No, it's not like in the cartoons, you know, with the lady, you know, in the...
But I'm one of those, you know, love, you know, I literally, you know, when one of the little wolf spiders will wander in from the yard, I pick it up on a piece of paper and take it back out in the yard, and I tell them, you know, you want to be out here, the eating is much better out here. Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, no, I like spiders better, actually, to be quite frankly, but it's the bugs, that it's the, and then there was the story that I read in the paper, did you hear about this? That, you know, some mice carry hantavirus, and then there's this other thing, alpha gal.
Plague.
Now, I like alpha gals. I like alpha women, okay? But could you imagine getting a tick that will make you allergic to red meat?
No, I've heard about that, and it would make me cry. I would be inconsolable.
I'm a Brazilian.
You have to eat red meat.
I'd be just like...
They'll pull your Brazilian card.
Or my Argentinian card. I could be Argentinian. Can you imagine? They have the best steak in the world.
Oh, yeah, those big... The great big humongous barbecues where they'll like crucify, you know, 100 cow dressed out, you know, spread out. I mean, it looks like a massive bovine crucifixion. But yeah, I saw that on a Bourdain show.
It's so sustainable, but I mean, planetary, but still, I grew up with red meat, okay? I like pork and I like beef and I like.
Yeah, and the idea of getting some sort of virus that would make you unable, yeah.
That would just...
Kind of explains veganism, though, doesn't it?
No, I don't eat a lot of meat.
Now I'll get the hate mail over veganism.
But I do like every now and then a little ribeye, a little...
Oh no, we're up on the Christmas season, and you know, Tracy last night was talking about her standing rib of beef, and it, you know that made me a little misty eyed, because the standing rib of beef, the Yorkshire pudding, you know, all the yeah,
and the pork hocks. God, I love pork hocks.
Yeah, see, you and I are of like mind in the carnivore department. I understand.
It's just, you know, the way...
Oh, wait a minute. Stop telling us how to eat, Bob. That comes from Steve from Georgia Stan, so... Yeah.
I mean, they even make, in Brazil, they even make mocotó. It's called M-O-C-O-T-O with the accent on the third syllable, mocotó.
That sounds surprisingly close to Klingon. Mokota.
Well, it's, yeah, mokota. And what it is it's a jam or jelly made from, well, the jelly of the pork hock. And it can be flavored with fruit, whatever. But it's high in protein and, well, because it's pork hock. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, and, I'm a hillbilly. We eat pickled pig's feet.
And it's awesome. I grew up on that stuff. Okay? Do they have something similar, like mocotó?
Well, it depends on how you define similar. I mean, there's...
Like a jam.
There's souse, and there's head cheese, and... And it depends on the meat gelatin. Yeah,
it's gelatin. There you go. It's a gelatin that's spreadable.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but you know, bits and pieces cooking. Classic poor folks food.
Yeah, and it's
spicy as hell, isn't it? I mean, I don't mean fiery, but lots of good spices and flavorings in it, and
In Brazil, it's sweet, actually. It's made with, it's mixed with fruit.
Well, like, hell, I'd give that a try.
Like strawberry and...
I would not be put off in the least by that.
And it's spreadable. Yeah, I'll send you some information on that, but I don't even know. Maybe you could get it.
Oh, Amazon carries everything.
Yeah, but yeah. So I grew up with that. So it's like heavy on the protein, and so yeah. No, to get an allergy, you read about that, right?
Yeah,
isn't that horrifying?
Oh, yeah, but then I also read the article the other day that spiders, all the spiders in the world, could eat all the humans in the world in less than a year. I don't know who dedicated their precious finite time of their existence to sorting that out, but I'd like to find them and give them a sound thrashing for the nightmares they've provided me.
And yet, you know, you and I read Charlotte's Web. I like spiders.
Oh, sure.
I like them better than I do cockroaches.
Oh, I'm in that battle. I'm definitely rooting for the spiders all the way.
You know, I'm much more a fan of Charlotte than I am of Drosophila.
Without
a
doubt.
I'm a housewife.
Yeah, I know Drosophila. Yes. And still no snow of any mention in the far frozen wastes. No, nothing.
None in the horizon.
Wow.
It's all melted. Everything's.
Like, I mean, aren't you usually up there? Aren't you usually good for a white Christmas?
No. It's
not anymore.
It's been a weird couple of years, and you know nobody wants to acknowledge global warming. But getting back to Tucker Carlson, though, I am really glad of that he's getting all his advertisers pulled. Any word on Laura Ingraham?
No, that's the thing that Reggie and I were talking about. They can lose a ton of advertisers, but because an outfit like Fox is driven by ideology and not economics, they'll stay.
They got all the money in the world.
Yeah.
They're kind of like their own Amazon in a way, right?
In many senses, yeah.
Like you couldn't seriously boycott them. They'd laugh at you. Because they got that wingnut welfare and they got
Emery and Marvoline out there, and whatever they advertise, Emery and Marvoline will participate in. Because we got to support fair and balanced news.
And the survivalist stuff, too, which is just hilarious.
Oh, by the way, piece of advice coming in from Irish Dave. Best weapon in the war on roaches. Might want to jot this down.
Okay.
20 Mule Team Borax. Sprinkle under the sink and behind the turlet and such. It don't kill them, but it runs them away right quick. And if you don't like your neighbors, that's a bonus and shit. So what you do is you use the 20 Mule Team Borax and don't tell anybody.
Is it like a repulsive?
Yeah, they can't stand it. They run, they don't die, but they run off and they go and play with your neighbors.
Nah, we control the population in the building with this chemical. I guess it's supposedly. They tell us that it attacks one nerve. I guess they have only one nerve in their entire central nervous system. And it attacks that nerve and dries them out, right? So all you see is, you know, when they die, is they die belly up and, you know, because they dried from the inside out, whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, because they spray every, what is it? Couple months. I probably won't be able to sire any children, but that's okay. I wasn't planning on.
Well, as long as the baby's arm doesn't start growing out of your head, Flavio, you'll be okay.
But no, they're pretty good about.
If somebody asks you to count something and you go, and start pawing the earth, you'll know you've been around. They've been spraying too much.
No, but yeah. So I just wanted to call in today and celebrate victory.
Well, and you sound like your health has improved. Whatever that cold was you were battling seems to have let up some.
Yeah, I'm still battling the high blood pressure. I did up the dose of my one of the pills.
Well, you know, not worrying about mice ought to be good for a couple of points coming down.
Yeah, I know. They freak you out because they dart. And then one day I was, like, sitting by my bed, and this guy scampered. He actually scampered, you know, like a kangaroo across the room. And I was like, you little...
Yeah, it's like the little Belgian bastard who stole my stuff in Brussels and scampered and skipped as he ran away. Little fucker.
Yeah!
Still mad about that.
Man, the brazen... It's almost as though he's saying, na, 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 na. And, you know, I got him, though. I got him. It was so good. it felt so good. It's like, okay, how now?
Three cheers and a tiger for me. I have won. Well, we will all celebrate your victory with you, Flavio, and wish you the very, very best going forward. And... You know, go
yeah,
down.
No, I don't need rodents.
Yeah, go down. Just go down and. I don't think there's a lot of threat to be had from raising hell with the Lutherans. So, go down and raise hell with the Lutherans and tell them to quit putting on their mouse drives to the upper floors.
No, they intended to put that into dental arts practice downstairs.
That's another thing. So, when you're just living your average, ordinary Flavio life there during the day, are you going to hear that piercing, terrifying sound of the dental drills? Is it safe?
Is it safe? I hope not. They've gotten better about that. They don't make that much noise. And at least we have some... We have some soundproofing on the doors, so.
Well, it sounds like it's the ceiling needs will be needing soundproof there.
Or the floor.
Yeah.
But no, I.
Cut back on something to suppress the screaming a little bit.
No, the dental practice is going to be far away enough from my apartment that I won't hear it, but.
Well, I just worry. I mean, I want to be helpful, so.
No. No, that's a terrifying thought. It's already, you know, the drills and the concrete blasters and everything going on downstairs.
Well, and I hope they won't be using. I hope they won't be using nitrous oxide because you don't need the contact buzz just floating up.
No, I don't know if. I don't even know if they're legal. They started. I swear they must start at 6 a.m. or something. I don't get up until 7. Because I work from home. But anyway, so you have yourself a great night, and I just wanted to say thank you for keeping on and putting on a rocking great program. I really appreciate that, and
well, thank you, Flavio. You're a part of it, and I enjoy our interactions and all the friends that
I wanted to talk
here.
Something other than politics, because you know we don't our lives aren't based around Stephen Miller, FM.
Not with yours, but I get the sentiment.
What I'm saying is, we're big enough that we can not give them pride of place every now and then, even though they seem to steal it.
Yeah, although I am going to have to deal with a couple of Trump stories here, because there was a reference made on MSNBC this evening in which Nicole Wallace described her mental image of Donald Trump, and this is a quote: "I have this image of Donald Trump running, screaming, naked through the halls of the West Wing. And all I can say to that is, hi, Nicole, or hi, whoever's writing for your show. We're awfully glad you're listening to the horn, because what, for better than a month now, I've been talking about Donald Trump eventually coming all unglued and tearing his clothes off in front of people and playing with himself." Well, that's the what Nicole Wallace said was the fit for cable TV version of what I've been saying. So once again, if you want to be so far out in front of the curve that it feels like you're on straight road, this is the place to be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just saying, I don't want to see Donald Trump. Jim Morrison. My ex-fiancé tells me that. My French ex-fiancé told me that Jim Morrison actually dropped trowel in Paris and masturbated in front of a loving crowd.
I would not be at all surprised to find out that
for my fans.
Hey, y'all, watch. Or as we say down south, hey, y'all, watch this.
I'm like, no, I don't want to see that. Okay, no. God forbid.
Well, we got into the gutter early, and early this evening, and I'm glad you were able to keep us from diverting up into some sort of decent topicality, Flavia. Man needs friends like that.
God. No, but he actually did that. I've read about it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could not believe her. He actually did that. He was just so drugged out of his mind that he did that. And no, I would not have liked to have been among the audience.
No, no.
No, no, thank you.
Yeah, pass. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And so hopefully his approval rating is tanking, or will tank, and I still agree with you that Pelosi's approach is the surest, in that the only way to get something as malignant as Trump out is to vote him out and to not give his acolytes any rope.
Or any reason to feel put upon. Right. They just need their asses soundly thumped at the polls.
And then, because the media dominate, and the media is right wing, his acolytes are right wing, they're thriving on the ratings. They love the ratings.
Oh, they do, and they look. He can, like I said, he confirms their bigotry. He makes it okay for them to be as nasty as they are, and so therefore, I mean, it's a match made in hell.
And like Les Moon said, it might not be good for America, but it's great for CBS.
Yeah, and screw him too. He didn't get his $120 million severance package. Good.
Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was... Mm-hmm.
Well, Flavio, I'm going to wrap it up, my friend. You have yourself a lovely remainder of your Wednesday evening. You're an hour behind me there in the Central Time Zone, so you've got a little more fun to have.
Yeah, I'm gonna have some pork chops before I get my alpha gal.
Yes, and enjoy... And hope that those were fastidiously clean mice.
Yeah.
Take care, Flavio. Be well.
I love you.
All right, later. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's our buddy Flavio up in up in Wisconsin. And so we are a very short time away from the end of the program, and we still have $32 to finish off Chris's challenge and take us down to only $135 to go to get even with the week. So somebody please don't leave that $32 laying on the table so that, you know, the challenge doesn't work out. And thank you very kindly to Chris for making the challenge. I said we got to do a little bit of Trump stuff. We do. And sometimes we just need to be cleansed of it. But two pieces of news today. One, the unilateral announcement made, of course, by on Twitter today that Julius Geiser says he has ordered all American troops out of Syria. And this is troubling to me. It creates some moral consternation on my part because I didn't think we needed to be at war in Iraq, and it was the war in Iraq that led to the rise of ISIS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other hand, there is general agreement that the only reason he did that was to please his Russian masters, that it was a purely transactional affair. And in fact, it was so out of the blue that earlier today, the State Department had planned a briefing. And then he made the Twitter announcement, and all of a sudden, the State Department had to up and cancel its press briefing today because they had no idea of how to begin to answer the questions that were bound to come because, well, they hadn't been provided any information or any guidance because Donald Trump likes to rule as a wannabe petty tyrant. But then there's this. A letter sent by the White House to chinless Mitch McConnell from the Department of Treasury under the signature of signature of Andrea M. Gacki, G-A-C-K-I, Office of Foreign Assets Control. It's a rock solid 8 pages long, so we won't fool with the finer details, except to say that pursuant to this letter sent to chinless Mitch McConnell, sanctions are going to be lifted on companies heretofore owned by a Russian thug by the name of Oleg Deripaska, based on some sort of agreement that we're supposed to believe, in which Oleg Deripaska will reduce his ownership stake below 50% in a whole bunch of, several Russian companies that have been subjected to sanctions, namely Rusal, the second largest aluminum producer in the entire world, EN Plus Group PLC, and JSC Euro Sib Energo. According to the statement from the swamp stopper, Steve Mnuchin, we've got a Mnuchin stuck in our drain, our swamp drain. These companies have committed to significantly diminish Deripaska's ownership and sever his control. The companies will be subject to ongoing compliance and will face severe consequences if they fail to comply. If y'all want to believe that, that's fine, but I don't. Because Deripaska's name will come off of it, but the VIG, on the other hand, will continue to go to him. So, that. That seems a little convenient, doesn't it? The withdrawal from Syria and the elimination of sanctions against companies run by a, an oligarch thug. Wonder if somebody sent him a still of the pee-pee tape again. And finally this, in the short amount of time remaining, an update. We talked about it some last week, and I talked about it with Billable Rick at length on Malloy's program on Friday. But there have been a few more details released about the double-secret probation grand jury proceeding in the Mueller investigation. I got to give props to Billable Rick. There's a Dukas Tecum, which means a documentary request involved with this, apparently. We still don't know who it is, but what we do know is who it ain't. It's not Donald Trump. It's not Mike Pence. It's not Roger Stone or an associate of Roger Stone. It is instead, and this is fascinating, a foreign corporation wholly owned by the country in which the corporation is incorporated. And the Mueller team apparently dropped a subpoena on the corporation, and the corporation objected. Well, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals issued an opinion, a per curiam opinion today. Or yesterday, rather, the 18th. In which they upheld the ruling by the district court that the subpoena would stand and that the, fines that were levied daily for failure to comply would also stand. And you can read the opinion. It's got a lot of, it's necessarily got a lot of legal mumbo jumbo to it. But the idea that a foreign corporation and a subpoena therein would be so super double secret that you ran all the lawyers not involved in the case and all the reporters off of the entire fifth floor of the building, and that nobody ever saw the lawyers for the other side come in to argue it, it remains fascinating. The foreign corporation was claiming sovereign immunity and using, if you want to look up the code sites, U.S. Code 18 U.S. Code Section 3231, the circuit court held that just because they complained it would be illegal for them to comply with the subpoena in their own country was not enough to defeat jurisdiction in United States courts. And there are a bunch of codes of case citations, if you want to look those up. For instance, we recognize that the Supreme Court has said, and this court has repeated, that Section 1330A is the sole basis for obtaining jurisdiction over a foreign state in our courts, citing Argentine Republic versus Amerada Hess Shipping Corp., 488 U.S. 428, 1989, and a whole bunch of see alsos after that. But you have to ask yourself, what kind of a company would be involved in criminal dealings and be entirely owned by the nation in which it's incorporated? For a minute there, I thought, Cambridge Analytica, but then no, that's privately held. And you have to come back to one of these curious Russian entities and wonder what it was they were up to. But whatever it was they were up to, it was serious enough to make the court want to make sure nobody knew who either the country or the company was, because the court goes to great pains not to identify who the recipient of the subpoena was. The name of the case is In Re Grand Jury Subpoena. That's how secretive it remains. So, not a lot of answers, except to know that it was not a subpoena for Donald Trump or Mike Pence, Silneck Geek, or in fact any individual, but for a corporation, and a foreign corporation owned entirely by the foreign country. And see, your imagination can just go wild. Maybe a Russian escort company that provided... Well, never mind, don't even. So here we are at the end of the program. Thanks, everybody, for jumping in this evening. I'm glad to know that that three out of four of the Paulmans are taken. And thank you very kindly, Anatole and Ralps and Earther, for jumping in on Chris's challenge. Hopefully, between now and next airtime, we'll knock down the other $32. And then if that happens, well, we've got a fighting chance to finish the week and finish the month and have Fundraising Free Radio come Christmas Eve. It's kind of a fun little Christmas gift, isn't it? Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you. Oh, wait, what's this? Cyprus, says Mark. In Florida. I thought about that too. And then there's, let's just finish this up before I finish the credits. There is a bank in Russia, state owned, that engaged in really weird communication activities with a company owned by the Trumps that is suspicious as hell. And that one popped to mind as well. But yes, Wilbur Ross's bank in Cyprus, that's another good guess too, Mark. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you this evening to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks, of course, always, to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.